last Sunday, I had mentioned about the promises of God not being redeemed because of the lack of prayer. In 2019, there was $26 billion in gift certificates that were given out. In 2016, 1 billion gift cards, dollars-wise, were not redeemed. How many times when we look at the promises of God, we do not redeem what God has given us according to the promises of God and His Word? That we did not take the initiative to get our face before God. When God said, you know what? I've done it all. I've done it all for you. All I'm asking is that you come and redeem what is yours. Salvation's free. It can be redeemed by your relationship with the Lord. One of the things that I have here, this is an authentic Visa gift card. You know, you can't redeem it until you get it in your hand. I also have a book that says, Pray the Word for Your Church. Think of the promises of God that we have not redeemed because we did not ask. Amen? If you want this, you got to come and get it. So did you hear what I said? If you want this, you got to come and get it. How many times did I repeat that? How many times is the Father saying, if you want this, I want you to come and get it? I didn't ask you how old you were, how young you were, what nationality, whatever it is. I did not ask those questions. All I said was, if you want this, you better come and get it. Right? Geez, I don't know. Was he serious? Was he serious when he said that? Oh, I'd like to come up there, but what would others think? See, he's wanting a boldness and a confidence in your heart to come and get it. It's redeemed. It's already done. As believers, he said, come and get it. Come and get the promises of God. So today, you and I face the world system or the world kingdom. We are to live based on a heavenly kingdom or a heavenly system. When we call ourselves believers, we're to be men and women of God that believe in the heavenly system or the heavenly kingdom. But there's an enemy that wants you to be deceived to where you will serve a worldly kingdom. Come on. And so here's the world system that is godlessness, where the heavenly kingdom is godliness. Amen. So it is evident when Jesus was saying in Matthew, in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus said, Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If you want it, come and get it. If you want it, come and get it. Release the kingdom of God in your life. So I'll just share with Connie. You know, I had somebody pray for my back, and I believe in the power of God. God, get the glory. So what she was doing, she was praying for the kingdom to come, the healing power of God to touch her back. Thy kingdom come. Is there sickness in heaven? Is there disease in heaven? Is there pain in heaven? So what she was doing is she was calling down the very things of God to touch her life. How many times we would think, well, it doesn't really matter. He already knows what I'm thinking. He's saying, call it forth. To call it forth. So Jesus says, with your access of prayer, you're actually reaching up into heaven's realm and pulling down into the earthly realm God's purposes. Amen? Oh, I got to say that one more time. Jesus is saying your access of prayer, you're actually reaching up into the heavenly realm and pulling down into the earthly realm God's purposes. Well, I don't know if I believe that. That's your problem. Because God wants us to be men and women of faith, not doubt and unbelief. And so can we believe what Jesus said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, that we're really believing in the power of God for our life? Let's look at Matthew 6:6. Jesus again spoke these words. So Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. So if he's saying this, there must be truth to it. Can I hear an amen? Amen. So in Matthew 6:6, Jesus said, but you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you've shut your door, pray to your Father, capital F, not natural Father, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. The secret to prayer is alignment with our Heavenly Father's will. That's the key. See, we're not telling God to line up his will with our will. Our Heavenly Father is saying, you need to line up your will with his will. Right? And so with that thought, you might say, well, is this really possible? Is this actually really possible? Well, if we look and see in the scripture, it says God will reward you openly. That is a promise, but we have to do our part. Jesus also spoke these words in John 14:10. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority. But the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. I'm saying, if you don't believe, here's the signs right here that prove themselves. Verse 12, most surely I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in my Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do. So the interesting part of that, of the verses there, is the question, is that true? I did not say it. I'm a messenger of the word where it says this is what Jesus said. Also, with this is what Jesus had spoken, remember, everything that is asked has to line up with the word of God. Because many times people can ask for their own self-centeredness, for their own motive, their own agendas, rather than the agenda of the kingdom of God. In verse 13, and whatever you ask in my name that I will do, that the Father will be glorified in my Son, if you ask anything in my name, I will do. Remember, God is not a vending machine that you put four quarters in and you push the button. And many times that we say, you know, all I have to do is say in Jesus' name. That is not true. There's other things that have to line up with why and what we're asking for. Is it for the glory of God or for the glory of yourself? Prayer begins with relationship. And I've seen this time and time again. I've seen where people have gotten trouble in their life and they come to church and they want to rub the lamp, the genie God. God, I need you to take care of this problem. And it's amazing how God can work in people's lives based on grace. And then things get better. Next thing you know, they're not in church anymore until the next circumstance or hardship or trouble that they're in. And what they're wanting, what God is wanting, I want a relationship with you, not just when you're in trouble. It's I want a relationship with you all the time. So God is always looking at the heart. The motive of our prayer is revealed by the heart. It has to be an authentic level of intimacy with God that is prayed in line with his will. It has to be an intimacy with God, and the thing is it needs to line up with his will. And you think, well, what about the guy that was on the cross, the thief? Well, he knew that God's son was on the cross. Jesus was on the cross. There was something in his heart that Jesus knew about that thief that was authentic to where he said, this day you'll be with me in paradise. Even though the sin put him on the cross to die with Jesus. So when we look at prayer, it has to line up with his will. When it lines up with his will, it has power. That's when the power of prayer brings results. But it comes at a cost on our part. Jesus did his part. Now we have our part. Let's look at Matthew 22, verse 36. You know, they're always trying to get Jesus stuck into some type of way to where they would entrap him with their words. And this was one of those situations where he was asked and Jesus responded, and this is the question. In Matthew 22, 36 through 39, teacher says, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And this is the first and the great commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So when I talked about earlier, there's something that's demanded from us. The power in prayer doesn't come without passionately pursuing the Lord with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our strength, and all our soul. There's that intimacy that comes with that. It comes through the linking and the connecting of the Lord relationally with him while surrendering to him spiritually. See, there's the relational part, but there's also the spiritual part that we have to surrender as well. And so many times, God, I got this. No, we don't have it. How are we to connect with him relationally and spiritually? So then we ask, well, how come God isn't answering my prayers? Because maybe the problem is the relational and the spiritual. Or maybe it's just the spiritual, not the relational. Let's look at it a different way. Let's look at marriage. If you do not have a solid relationship with your spouse, for instance, you do not talk unless you want something. You do not come near each other unless you have to. You will only do something for them because you want something. There's a problem. If this is a motive or an action in how spouses treat each other to get their way, what do you think God is thinking when we treat him the same way? See, we want God to move on our part, but we only talk to him unless we want something. We only come near to him unless we have to. And we only do something for him because we want something from him. Ouch. It's amazing how we can do things within the family, but it's also amazing with God we can try to spiritualize it. We can think, we can try to manipulate God by our actions, but if our heart isn't in the right place, he knows when our heart isn't connecting with his heart. We cannot fool God. So as a result, he does not have to respond to our prayers when there's no pure connection with him. That is the same in marriage. I encourage you married couples to read 1 Peter 3, 1 through 12. I've never seen a great marriage with the absence of connection. It takes abiding in each other's presence to have a great marriage. And the same is true with God. The same is true with God. In order to get answered prayer, it is our responsibility to abide in His presence. I think you'll see what I mean when I read these scriptures. Turn to John 15. Think about the connection with the presence of the Lord. How that fits. If we want answered prayer, why do we think that we can just rub the lamp, poof, we have the genie God, and all of a sudden He's supposed to respond to our need or our ask? So when we look at John 15:1, Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You're already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Abide in me, I in you." There's that connection. Do you see the connection that is very important here? "Abide in me, I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them in the fire and they are burned." Verse 7. "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you may bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." Why would we think that our life should be separate for God that we say we worship? He's saying we need to abide in Him. We need to abide in His word. When we abide in Him, and then He abides in us. And then He prunes us. Ouch. But you know He's pruning us to bear more fruit for the glory of God. All right? So with that, we need to understand God is a God of covenant. Okay? As we read the Word of God, the promises of God, God is a God of covenant. So He is also a God of His Word. He's a God of His Word. And He is obligated to His own word. Right? If He wasn't obligated to His word, then we as His creation say, "God, you're a liar." Right? So He is obligated to His own word. And as we look at verse 7 and 8 again, it says, "If you abide in me, my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." So we see with this is that God has tied His name and His reputation to what He Himself has said. His reputation is backed by the Word of God. That's incredible. It is absolutely incredible. So then we can say God is faithful. Many times what happens is when we don't get God to respond to our prayer and our timing, then we say God is not faithful. Because we're wanting God to move based on our feelings, our emotions, our life, and we tend to put God in a box to say, "This is you, God," when really the timing is based on His word, not yours. Again, God has tied His name, His reputation, to what He Himself has said. And that is why it's so important that we are praying according to the promises of God, His word. Because He's obligated to His word. Amen? Amen? Not only that, think of it this way. He is bound to his own covenant agreements. And so many times we think covenant agreements, and we're going to see a covenant agreement later on in the service. But he is tied to his word as covenanted agreements. All right, let's look at Isaiah 55:11. One of the most important things you and I can do is study God's word. One of the most important things you and I can do is study God's word because he's a covenant God and he's obligated and bound by his covenanted agreements in the word. All right? So Isaiah 55:11, it says, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth." Now let's just take that a little bit. In Genesis, he said, "Let there be light." And it was. And you know what? Today we get to enjoy the covenanted agreement when he said, "Let there be light." Amen. Today we get to enjoy the light that God spoke as a covenanted agreement for this earth that we're living on. How long ago was that? "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth, that it shall not return to me void." Do we still get light every day? Every day. "But it shall accomplish what I please." It shall accomplish what I please. And many times we're trying to manipulate God for our pleasure. "And it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." Today we get to enjoy light because he sent it forth. We get to enjoy the very creation that God gave to us. And with that, it says, "And it shall prosper in which the thing for which I sent it." There's no negative connotation to that at all. But there's something here in which you and I get to enjoy as his creation. When you pray in faith, you're reminding God of his promises in his word that he spoke out of his mouth. Let's simplify that a little bit more. As we look at John 3:16, I have heard that so many times. It's worth repeating over and over and over again. When you and I pray in faith, we're reminding God of his promises, of his word that he spoke out of his mouth, right? So Jesus, when we look at John 3:16-18, it says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Verse 17, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved," right? That message is still the same today. It says, "He who believes in him is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Is that message still the same? Is God watching over his word to perform it? Yes, he is. Now let's look at Romans 10, and we're going to look at 8 through 13. Paul had this revelation. Do you think Paul, when he was with Jesus, when he was on the road to Damascus, that he had a God encounter that it didn't affect his life? He preached to unto his death because he was so convicted. I mean, he had a God encounter. It says this, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth, in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So then when we look at Isaiah 55:11, I want us to see what is being said. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth, that shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Who was Jesus? He was the Word of God. And today, people are still believing in that covenant agreement that God sent his son to die on the cross, even today. Amen. That word that God spoke is still true today because of a covenant agreement that God spoke forth. So when we think of our prayer not having effect, then you mean to tell me that when you ask Jesus to be your personal Lord and Savior, that it does not have effect? You believed it in your heart, and you spoke it with your mouth. Right. And what happens is the God that is a covenant God sealed you from the pit of hell. Amen. We should be the happiest people on this earth. You understand what I'm saying? Because it isn't based on our word, it's based on his word. Amen. But we're lining our mind and our heart in agreement with his covenanted agreements. The promise of God. The promises of God. A promise is that if you come up and you want to be saved, that spoken word is still effective today. And that any person, as long as they have breath, can see the power of the grace of God save their life. Isn't that amazing? But you have to pray the prayer. You have to believe in your heart and speak it with your mouth. Isn't that interesting? So he did his part. Now we have to do our part. So when we think of the alignment, we have to have an alignment with his word. See, I have to not only believe it in my heart, I have to speak it. We can't mentally be saved. We have to believe it and speak it because that's what he's asking for. For his promises to take effect. So when we think of the power of prayer, I don't want us to just think, oh, it's no big deal. Then you'd have to say your salvation wasn't a big deal. Right? Your salvation is a big deal. But also believe your prayers are a big deal too. You may be believing for a lost loved one. There may be one right now that the Lord God has put on your heart that you have been praying for, and you're going, well, God, when is this going to happen? Until that person has their last breath, all things are possible with God. So we need to be careful for the things that we ask for. Because you're going to identify where your heart is. Is it about your kingdom or his kingdom? This morning, when you think of salvation, oh, it's no big deal. When heaven's rejoicing over one soul, it's a big deal. It is a big, big deal to God when he has his angels rejoice over one soul. Isn't that amazing? It is truly amazing, the love and the grace of God that abounds forevermore. Praise the Lord. So I'm going to close with this, Jeremiah 33, verse 3. Never limit what God can do in your life or somebody else's life. Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Isn't that amazing? Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. It's good to pray. It's good to redeem those things that he has promised for our life. Amen.